Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible this evening, I know that I said all that earlier, and wanted to just kindly get that out there while I was adjusting myself a little bit and getting focused on what we were here to do. But I really got something very simple this evening, and just wanted to share a few things with you. I'm going to work Jan hard up there tonight. Maybe if Kathy's up there, they can work together to help me. I see her head sticking out. As I told you, my outline was thoughts coming together, and I didn't even get all my scripture looked up, and I really apologize, Kathy, but you've seen her the other night. I mean, all she needs is a word, and it's like, boom, there it is. So I got a couple of those places this evening that I want to share with you, and just talk about it just a little bit. I didn't even get my notes up there to those guys this evening. Sometimes I get that up there and sometimes I don't. So really, we're going to start in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 this evening is where we're going. We all know that verse of scripture. It is where that Jesus had opened that up. And he starts talking about him being the good shepherd. And that he putteth the sheep before him. He cares for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. We see that, and we see that in the scripture there where the Bible says that the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I heard John Hagee say something years ago, and again, I don't want to be repetitive and redundant and repeat myself over and over, but he said something. He said, you can take a pig and set it in a parlor. You can put a pink ribbon on the pig. You can give the pig a bath, but as soon as you let that pig loose, that pig is going to go back out and jump in a mud hole and waller in a mud hole. Why? Because he's a pig. He's never had a nature change, and that's the way the devil is. The devil's the devil. He'll always be the devil, and the devil's not your friend. The devil's not your buddy. We don't need to give place to the devil. We need to shun the devil, and we just need to focus on what God has for us. So that's what John chapter 10 basically says there in the beginning in a nutshell. When you read through John chapter number 10, there's something that got my attention in a day or so ago. To be honest with you, I don't even remember when I wrote this down. You think, well, Pastor, you ain't never been like that. I've been up since 2 a.m. I'm just lucky to be here. So I said that to say this, what I feel like is in front of me, the Lord gave it to me so fast that I just wrote it down, and as quick as I could write it, I was writing it, not knowing what was ahead of me right around the corner. So as we look at this evening, I just want to just simply share with you what I believe God's laid in my heart. Let me read the scripture to you, and again, I'm not going to go back and read all of John 10. But this is John 10, 27. And this is where this one verse of scripture is. I'm going to say something I don't normally say. And CJ is going to faint back there. He's going to fall plumb out of that sound booth. I'm a little bit too loud in my monitors. Catch him when he hits the floor back there. Because I always tell him, give me monitor, and I won't holler. So that's good right there. Thank you. We got that adjusted, and I'm already feeling better about this. John chapter number 10, verse 27, one verse of Scripture. And you think you're going to preach this whole thing based upon this one verse of Scripture. I didn't tell you, but it's only going to last 5 minutes. It's easy. I'm just picking on you. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now let's read that together. Everybody, we all can read that one. Let's read it together. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Three things. You want a 3-point outline? There it is. First of all, my sheep hear my voice. That's the first thing. Sheep hear his voice. Number two is, when you look at this, I know them. He knows who you are. And then the third thing here, that I could talk about every one of these, and then the Bible says, they follow him. 3 points. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Now let's stand to be dismissed to go home. Just kidding. There's you a 3-point outline. What I felt like the Lord laid on my heart was simply this. And you have to follow me for a minute or you're going to miss this. If I had a title this evening, the title would be Talk It All Over with Jesus. Now that was my title. If I'd have got it up there quick enough. Talk It All Over with Jesus. When I began to think about this, I understood that God is a communicator. How many of you thought about that? God is a communicator. When I think about that, I think about the simple fact that God desires to communicate with you. I know that we've had scripture in the past as God came with Adam and Eve and walked with them in the cool of the day. They were there, and the voice of the Lord God came down, and it was with Adam and Eve there in the garden, and God communicated with them. God's always being a communicator. When I was at Haywood Community College working not on the welding degree, but when I went back working on an associate degree at Haywood Community College, very simple process there for a while till you run into algebra and then everything falls apart. In biology, I wasn't studying algebra. I wasn't studying biology. I was studying other things, but that's the track and I'll leave that alone. I had a oral communications class. Anybody ever taken that in community college? You got to pretty well follow one of those tracks, and mine followed oral communications and public speaking. I'd already been preaching for years, and so, you know, I was so proud of myself when the teacher said, you're a good speaker in public. I thought, well, that's a good thing. I'm a pastor. I do it all the time in the back of my mind. So at the end of the semester, of course, I got an A in that class, one of the only A's I ever got in my life, just about, you know. Besides art and leatherworks and stuff like that. Just kidding. Well, not really. But anyway, I thought about communication. And I thought about how that God is a communicator. God wants to communicate with you, and God wants to communicate with me. When I looked at this text, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I've heard people say, Brother Chris, I've heard them say, well, I've not heard God speak to me in years. And I'm going to myself, I'm going, how do you function as a Christian? And it's like, God's not communicating. But I'm going to tell you something, God's communicating. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody says, turn your ears up. Because I believe that God in 2021 is still wanting to communicate with his people. Not only that, I look at this and I think about how that even in the day and the hour that we're living in, that we have a lot of conversations, but how many of those conversations really have to do with God? Well, somebody says, well, I don't know how to talk to God. Well, who was it? Abraham? Bobby, help me. Was it Abraham that talked to God as a friend? Abraham, it was imputed unto him as righteousness, and Abraham became known as a friend of God. So when we think about God, God being a communicator, the Bible says in the scripture, even all the way throughout the book of Revelation, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So God is a communicator. God wants to communicate. God wants to communicate with me. God wants to talk to me. I thought about conversations with the Master. Well, I told you I had a little skimpy outline up here this evening, and that was all I wrote down. Conversations with the Master. Now, if I had plenty of time this evening, I would go back into the New Testament and I would start looking at that, and I would be looking at different individuals that had conversations with Jesus and what Jesus said to them and how Jesus communicated with them, whether it's the Sermon on the Mount or whatever the case may be when Jesus was there. Jesus was giving them instructions. So the first thing we hear from God when we talk about God being a communicator is we hear instruction. God communicates with us because he wants to instruct us. He wants to talk to us because we need instruction in the church today. I need instruction. Now, Chris Hewitt, picking on Chris tonight. Chris will put something together and throw away the extra parts. I'll spend a long time myself looking over and over and over instructions. Hopefully, I don't have any missing parts. If I do, I put them in my pocket when I'm done, and nobody ever knows that. Me and him had that conversation here not long ago. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, that's the second thing, instruction. If any man lack wisdom, that's James 1 and 5, I believe it is. If any man lack wisdom, now you can study. Paul told Timothy to do what? Study the shows I self approved. But I think wisdom, I think about wisdom. We talk about, you know, individuals through the Bible. There was the sons of Issachar, I believe, and I've not read that in a long, long time. They were wise beyond their years. Somebody says, how are we going to make it in 2021? How are we going to make it today? We need instruction from God. Number two, we need God's wisdom. And I'm telling you, we can find wisdom in God because the Bible says if any man lack wisdom, wisdom is knowing what to do with what you got. Knowing what to do with what you got. Knowledge, you can read, you can gain knowledge. I know that the Bible talks about this, and just hold that one for a minute. The Bible talks about this over in the book of Isaiah, and I didn't look that scripture up either. But he talks about shepherds, and God would send shepherds, and God would fill them with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So when God begins to speak to you, God, watch this, God wants to give you and me instruction. God wants to show me what to do. God wants to lead me. David said he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He leads me. Wisdom, again, and there's a lot of definitions. I didn't look any up, but there's a lot of different definitions that would have come out of this, be that I would have dug deeper into it. But wisdom is one of those things I think about that is a supernatural wisdom. A wisdom that, it's not knowledge. You can get knowledge out of a book. You can be filled with all kinds of knowledge but not be wise enough to use the knowledge that you have. You've got to understand, and then you've got to use that knowledge that God's given you. But that only comes through Holy Ghost wisdom. I grew up at the foot of a farmer. I grew up at the foot of this man, and he was probably 65, 60, long through there. He retired from the paper mill there in Canton. And at that time in my life, I knew he was one of the wisest people I ever met. When a lot of other young people was out getting in trouble on Saturday night, guess where I found myself? I could have been out with young people, I'm sure. I chose not to do that. I was sitting on his couch in his living room with him and his wife. I don't know what it is, even to this day, and I'm getting there myself. But God's always, like Chris is a, I'll use Chris again. Why am I picking on you? Chris is like this youthy, nerdy, youth magnet type guy right now, you know, sort of kindly. And I'm sort of like this old person, nerdy, and I couldn't find my turkey hat Saturday night that I was going to wear. Don't give up on me. I hadn't found it yet. To be able to entertain elderly people. It's just in my blood. It's just who I am. It's just the way God's made me. Brother Scott, when other young people was out doing their thing, I was sitting on this man's couch, gleaning, getting wisdom. And young people, there's hardly any here tonight, but if there's anything that you can get from an elderly person today, get all you can get from them, simply because they don't raise them like that anymore. Can I get the elderly in the room to say hallelujah and amen? You've been through schools of hard knocks. You've been through things. You know things. You've learned, some of you, the hard way not to do that, not go back down that path again. But I'm simply saying this, that God is a communicator. God wants us to hear instruction from Him. Number two, God says, if any man lack wisdom, knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have is wisdom. Being able to take what God's given you and apply that to your life. I believe there's two different ways that we get knowledge as well as wisdom. Somebody grabs a hot eye on a stove. It don't take you really long to figure out. Don't need to be doing that again. One time's a plenty. But we learn through supernatural experiences, and I know that there are those today that don't believe in the supernatural that comes from God. Is it okay if I just be plain? Patricia, what I'm getting ready to tell you, I think I done told you, it's the truth. It is the truth. Somebody says, that's just a coincidence. Now, I hate to mention this information. I really hate to mention this, but I think it's a good thing. I told Debbie earlier about this, and this was this morning at 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 a.m. I went to Ann's house. Paramedics there with me. And I told him, I said, I can't get in that door. She's got a screwdriver behind the lock on the door, and it will not open. I said, and I don't want to break it, because if I break it, she'll make me fix it. And this is the truth. I reached out, Brother Scott, Russell. I reached out, and this is the truth. And touched that screen door, and the screwdriver dropped out the bottom of it. And somebody says, oh, that's just a coinky-dink. No, God didn't want me to break her door. And I just needed to get in to her and to check on her. And I'm thinking, you know what? We still live in a supernatural day. You think, well, that is not a big deal, preacher. Am I telling you the truth, Patricia? You don't get in that door. I've been over there and touched that door and grabbed that door and tried to open that door. And it don't happen. But Steve, I went over there this morning, and I mean, I touched the thing, and the screwdriver fell out the bottom of the door. You say, well, that ain't no big deal. You wasn't over there. You hadn't done that as many times as I'd done it. But you think, well, that's just one of those things, a normal thing. I'm going to tell you what, you call it what you want to call it. But I think the reason that we're not seeing God move on our behalf is because we don't expect God to move. And I'm going to tell you something else, and I know I'm meddling just a little bit, but it's all going to focus around, let's just talk to Jesus about it. Let's have a conversation with God. Talk it all over with Jesus. I've got good friends that has almost, I want to use the word debunked, but has almost downplayed the miracles of the New Testament, that they almost had me believing that the miracles was just for yesterday and miracles don't happen anymore because of their theological depth of the understanding of what I don't understand. I'm not wise enough to understand that miracles don't happen no more. Are you following me? People say miracles don't happen no more. But I'm just silly enough and crazy enough to believe that if you need a miracle, God is still in the miracle working business. I believe that. People don't need to be saying, God don't work no more. God's just waiting on you and God's waiting on me. So my little outline was simply, just talk it all over with Jesus. Have a conversation with God. God wants to give you instruction. God wants to give us wisdom. Knowing what to do with what we've got. Now that's my first page. Here's my second page. Third thing is this. He said, my sheep know my voice. Now, chronologically, These couple of scriptures that I'm getting ready to mention to you, they may not exactly fit, but I wanted them to fit perfect, so here we go. So talk it all over with God. Talk it all over with Jesus. So He's given us instruction. He's given us wisdom. The third thing, God has given us this strange word that Paul talked about. You guys will have to look this one up. Paul said, and this is one of those, Lethe, one of those things that I struggle with, okay? Y'all ready for this? If a miracle don't happen instantaneous, and if you don't get what you want instantaneous, let me remind you, I was thinking about this yesterday. I said, we're getting ready to go into the season of Christmas. Now take your fingers and put them in the kids' ears for a second. And I thought to myself, I need to preach a message on the association or the connection between Santa Claus and Jesus. Couldn't find no text for it. You'll get that after a while too. Because nobody can do you like Jesus. Amen. And this is what I was thinking when I thought about these scriptures and all this coming together the way it came together in my mind. And mind you, I wrote this as fast as I could write it, not knowing what was ahead of me over the next 24 to 48 hours. If it don't happen instantaneous, God's not Santa Claus. Are you with me? Sometimes I think God's waiting on us. But sometimes we go through what we go through to really see if we got the perseverance. Is that a word that we really need? Perseverance. Thank you, Hannah. Hannah's my helper. Perseverance. We got to go through these things sometimes to really, sometimes you got to go through the fire, Russell. Sometimes you've got to go through these things. And James even talks about that in these patience and these things that patience works through, while we're in the process. Boy, I heard a good message this morning. Just sitting there listening to a guy preach at Ann's, and he talked about just going through the process. And I'm not going to get into that right now, but I'm thinking, man, that's where we're at. Life is a process. But the scripture that I thought about was a scripture that was found there in Philippians. Here we go. Paul says this, as Paul writes this, he said, in all of my ways and what I've developed in my own life, he said, I know how to be abased. And Paul said, I also know how to abound. In that, Paul was saying, I've had good days and I've had bad days. And then this is where this all comes together. But Paul says, but in all these things, now this is a paraphrase of what that says. In all of these things, in whatever state I'm in, I have learned to be what? Talk to me. I've learned to be content. When we have these conversations with God, when we have our faith in God, when we get our instruction from God, when we get our wisdom from God, when we have conversations with God, we may be going through the valley of the shadow of death. As David said, I will fear no evil. We might be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We may be going through that, but Paul said, hey, I've been there. Go read 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about where he'd been beaten with 39 stripes, save one, and how that he was shipwrecked, how that he was in the storm, how that he was in the battle. But in all of Paul's writings, Paul wrote back and Paul said, but even in all of those things, I've learned to be content. So we learn this. We learn this as Christians to be content because we know that God's got it in control. If I freaked out every time I freaked out, I would freak out all the time. You'll get that after a while too. I've got to where I just have to, hey, I got to hold the boat steady. Somebody said here not long ago, Jody, they said, your congregation will never rise above its leader. And if I crumble every time I crumble, and you guys don't see me crumble because I don't crumble in front of you. But if I crumbled every time I got up here in the pulpit and it was a woe me and poor me and oh, look at how, you guys wouldn't come back. Come on, bro. Because I'd poor mouth so bad that I'd get you so depressed. You'd go over to Walgreens and buy you a bottle of whatever it would be to help you. We got to learn to be content. In the day that we're living in, with some of the stuff that Robert shares with me every now and then, I said, I wasn't going to talk about politics, so I'm not. We live in a crazy, warped, mixed up world. We don't get our wisdom from man. You can get knowledge from man. We don't get our peace from man. Man can give you a little bit of reprieve or a little bit of relief or something for things that we go through. But really, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. I love it when the plan comes together. Being confident. That's a different verse, but I like that verse. Is that a verse that y'all wanted me to put up there? Y'all want me to read that? Hey, we'll read it. Paul said, hey, whatever Jesus started in you, Jesus will finish. I've learned to be content. Contentment. We think about contentment and to be at this state of inner peace. To be at this state of an inner emotional state of knowing that God's got this thing taken care of. You say, why? How are you pulling all this together? Because he said in our text in John 10 and 27 there in the scripture that my sheep know my voice. And I just got to say it the way I feel it. It's going to be okay. You say, well, you're preaching to yourself. Well, I need to preach to myself. But I feel it more than just for me. Whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Then we have this, the next thing, we have this awesome, watch this, this is so simple that it's complex. We have this great opportunity that God, the God that put the stars in place, put the moon where it's at, put the sun exactly where it's supposed to be, 93 whatever. Somebody had to correct me on that. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. 93 million miles away from the earth, and if it moves this way, we burn up. If it moves back, we freeze to death. I mean, God put that thing there. I'm not talking about the milkman this evening or the Pepsi man. I'm talking about the God of the universe. And to me, if this ain't helping nobody else, Lethe, it's helping me and you because we know God's in control. Those beautiful sunrises that you put up there and those beautiful sunsets, paintbrush of God. God's got it all under control. You say, well, in the future, this thing's going to burn up with a fervent heat. Is it going to be an atomic bomb? Is it going to obliterate? Is that a word? Obliterate? Is that a word? Okay. If this whole world falls apart, it's okay. He's in control. But we have this wonderful thing here in the scripture. And again, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but you think about the awesome thing that God done. Watch this. God's gave you and I this privilege of prayer. I told you this was simple tonight. Talking to God is more than your wish list. More than your Santa Claus list. More than your command list. More than God give me this, God give me that, God do this for me. Sometimes if we could just sit at His feet and break open the alabaster box. Let the fragrance of the Holy Ghost get all over us. Sit there in His presence, say, God, I just want to be in Your presence. I want to talk to You a little while. My granny and her mother, did you get that? My granny and her mother, they both were about the same age when they passed away. My grandma Haynes, anybody related to the Haynes is in the house? I just need to check. That's a mountain name. You blurt, there's, okay, we're kin. From now on, we're kin, okay? My great grandma was a Haynes by her husband, but she was a Davis by her native name, maiden name, her real name. Anybody, Davis is in the house? Davis, okay, we're kin now, okay? Me and you are kin. Any more Davises? All right. And then on the other side of that family was Rogers. Okay, we're kin. Any Rogers in the house? Okay, we're Rogers. We're kin in the house. So that's the family on my granny's side. And my granny, her mother, got to where she couldn't hardly talk. She just caught a jabber a little bit before she passed. But we would be there, and I didn't understand the value of her life as I was 20 years old and right along through there. She'd just look at us, and she'd say, "Just stay. Just stay. You don't have to go. Just stay. Stay with me. You don't have to go. Just stay." And I'm thinking as I'm preaching this, you know, that's the way God is. You don't have to go. "Oh, I got to go, God. I got to go. See you later, God." But just stay. Just give God a little bit more time. Just stay with him a little bit more. Because he's wanting to give you instruction. He's wanting to give you wisdom. He wants to teach us contentment. And it comes through this wonderful avenue of prayer. Brother Cain, Brother Harden, help me. Brother Robert, about five of these guys, I can't think of everybody right now, about five of these guys come every Tuesday. I can't always get here, but they'll come and spend an hour around here in prayer because they've learned the value of prayer. Next thing. Well, if I'd had time to do a real outline. The next thing is this. We need to talk to God in prayer. I'm content. I get my wisdom and my instruction from God. The next thing is this. How does this contentment come? And here's what I wrote down. It comes from the fact. Somebody say fact. It's a non-negotiable. It's a fact. Y'all ready for this? First of all, I love this. We need to get a hold of this. God, y'all ready? Can't fail. Whoo! Think that's too simple for this evening service. Talk it over to God. Talk it over with Jesus. As we understand that God can't fail. That is as simple as the day is long. But it's as deep as you can take it. It's to know that we're looking in a society today that it looks around you and me and it's like trouble every way we turn. But God can't fail. The next thing is, and it's a little bit different, but it's the same, but it's different, a lot different. Not only can God not fail, God will not fail me. Whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content because God can't fail, and God will not fail me. Somebody said, "I failed God many times." I have too. But where's God been? God has been just as faithful to me in my failure as he was in what I would use the terminology, success. God will not fail me. Third thing there is simply this. Well, it's sort of the same. Just me and my little bitty scribbling notes down. The Bible says that God will hold us up with his right arm. God won't only fail me, but God will not let me down. God will see it through when I trust in him. The fourth thing here in this particular area about contentment comes from this. That he who has promised is able. I can make you a promise. I can make you a false promise. And not able to deliver what I promise you. But whatever God says in his word, I don't know, Brother West, it would be a study. How many promises there is in God's word? I've been told this. I don't know this to be true. But I've been told that there's 365 promises that you can actually study out and find in God's word. There's a promise for every day of the year. God's promises. The Bible says that God's promises are what? Yea and amen. God's we trust in He who has promised is able. Fourth thing, last thing. Getting a short one tonight. Why we need to talk it over with God? Because we get wisdom, we get instruction, we learn to be content. God's given us the ability to pray. We know that God hears us when we pray. His ears are open to the saints, the prayers of the saints. We learn contentment when we talk to God. We understand God can't fail us, and God will not let me down. And God, the one who has promised, is faithful. Fourth and final thing, that His ability is limitless. Are you with me? His ability is unlimited. We think about the omniscience of God. Did I say that one right? I'm picking on Hannah. The omniscience of God, the all-powerful, all-knowledge, all-knowing God. I mean, I heard somebody, I don't remember who, Brian Cutshaw, talking a month or so back about the nuclei and the atom. And it even goes further back than that, and everything inside of the atom and the nuclei and all of that, it starts as a material of matter, light. And he breaks it down how that in the beginning was God, and the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and then light appeared, and from that light God made everything. So we think about this in the scripture. We think about how that God's power is limitless. Why do we need to talk to God? Because God's the one that's got the power to do what we know we need done. Ephesians 3, here we go. We got a scripture. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. I didn't write it down. I just wrote the scripture reference down. I know what it says. I got it written in front of me. But it says here in the Word, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I'm going to wait on Miss Jan for a second. If I jump ahead of her, she may not learn how to do that as easy. So she's in the process of learning. And you know what, Jan? I am a patient person. It's okay. So we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll get there. It's okay. I'm going to wait. I got it right here. I got it in front of me. I'm flipping. I'm in the book of Ephesians right now. I'm in chapter 3 right now. Y'all ready? Verse 20. Watch this. I'll let her find it. It's okay. This is what the Word says. It says, now unto him that is what? The next word. It's not up there. It's up here. Able. Able. Somebody say that with me. Able. Why do I need to have a conversation with God? Why do I need to talk it over with Jesus? Because he's able. His power is limitless. God will not fail me. God will not let me down. It's a fact that God can't fail. God hears us when we pray. He's given us the wonderful ability to pray. And I found out to be content in whatever state I'm in, that God's got it under control. Sherry and I was riding the other day, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just another little thing. I got a lot of little things. What was it, a year ago? Maybe that this happened. I told Sherry the other day, I said, that was the craziest, silliest little dream that I had. I think it was coming back from down here the other night, the classic. I said, the craziest, silliest little dream I've ever had. I said, I think God did that to me on purpose so that I would remember it. You remember, I've said this many times, and I even sung you the song. In my dream, I seen a little guy playing a guitar with a little round black hat. Looked like a little Mexican guy just getting it, you know, playing a guitar. And he was singing this little song that said, God said he'd fix it. Fix it, fix it. God said he would fix it. God said he would fix it, fix it, fix it. And that's all he was doing. Then he said, on all those things that you can't do, God said he would fix it for you. God said he would fix it, fix it, fix it. God said he would fix it. I mean, this was a dream. And this thing has always been in the forefront of my mind, because as silly as that little dream was, that I just somehow Brother West got settled in and knowing that God's power is an ability that is limitless. I heard somebody else say something the other day, said, hey, if it don't get fixed, that just means that God didn't want it fixed. Somebody says, no, that's a lack of faith right there. Listen, if God wants it fixed, God's going to fix it. I just sometimes just need to get out of the way and let him do it. I learned a long time ago, even as a pastor, because I'm a fixer. I'm not as bad now as I used to be because I owned you. Are you with me? I owned you. I owned all your problems. I owned all your concerns. I carried your burden with you, and I carried all your burden for you during that time. I was wearing myself out carrying everybody's burdens, and I was just absolutely overwhelmed with the emotion, not necessarily here so much as in my past, but I was overwhelmed with all the emotion because I felt like I was your God. Are you with me? I felt like it was my responsibility to be your Savior. Not yours as you as an individual, but you as being a church, the church of God. Especially when I come to the former church that I come from because of what I was dealing with there. And Brother Steve, I just felt like I had to get it. I had to fix it. I felt personal responsible for everybody's boo-boos and everybody's life and everybody's family and everybody's this and everybody's that. I felt personally responsible for that. And it just dawned on me one day, Brother Russell. You can't do this. Now I'm going to go back here, Kathy, in just a minute. I'm going to go back here. But I'm going to end kindly tying all this together. It's kindly two or three piece message. I understand that. But I can't do anything but give you what I felt like God gave me. Talk it all over with Jesus. You're not God. I'm not God. I can't fix everything. I get wisdom. I get instruction. I'm content. He's given me prayer. His power is limitless. But I got to understand, and I guess I'm going to do it this way. There's times in my life, there's times in your life, in my life, we need each other. I started to look the scripture up there a while ago, and it's just like, it's just too quick for me, and I just didn't get it done, but I can tell you what it is. Anybody in the Bible remember Moses? He didn't build an ark. Moses didn't build an ark, and Moses didn't slay the giant. Okay, I'll leave that where it's at. You know why I said that. They got these crazy things today, and young people they're saying are so biblical illiterate, they don't even know who Moses was or who Noah was, so we solved that problem tonight. When Moses became overburdened, Brother West, you may have to help me, and Bobby, my two teachers here, the Amalekites prevailed against Israel. They put Moses' arms on some stones, and they set him up, and Moses was there holding up his arms. And as long as Moses' arms was held up, the Amalekites could not prevail against Israel. And then his arms would get tired and his arms would get weak. And then the Amalekites, I think it's Amalekites, one of them ites, they would prevail against Israel. And then Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, Hur, would come by and they would hold up the arms of the leadership, Moses. And I know there's a theological depth to that that I'm not reaching tonight. I understand that. But they would hold up the arms of Moses. And then once he had Aaron and Ur with him, once again, Israel was able to move forward and be successful in the battle. No matter who we are, we all need help. We all need somebody, myself included. So maybe we're here this evening just to understand that we can help one another through this all. But yet we got to understand that God's power is limitless. God's power is supernatural. When I am weak, God becomes strong. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can't even think everything that God can do. According to the power that worketh within us. The power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. It says in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. He says, amen. So in this text this evening, it said those words of where the Bible says in the Scripture, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Talk it all over with Jesus. Talk to him. This last verse comes from 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. Did you get it? This is what he says. We're getting there. It's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 10. And I turned way past it. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That even in my weakness, God makes me strong. Somebody said like this, said, how do we understand the limitless power of God? Y'all ready for this? It's deep. We don't. One man wrote it like this. I don't even know where I got this as I was writing notes and looking and scrambling and putting stuff together. Trying to understand the limitless power of God is like trying to put the Pacific Ocean in a glass. Did you get that? Can't. I heard Pastor Boland say years ago, said every time we the people of God, we the church, we think we got God figured out, you know what God does? God turns the page. And there's a brand new page and there's a brand new depth of God. We don't understand it. Somebody said, we'll understand it all in the by and by. Well, it'll be the by and by when we understand it all. But here's what we do understand. That we can talk it all over with him. Take it to God. Let God work it out. Let God do it. Amen? Let's stand together. Let's stand and just worship him a minute. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to come and hear the word of the Lord. That, God, that you can speak to us, your people. And, God, that you'll help me as we move forward to do the things that you've called us to do. Father, thank you for the awesome power of being able to talk to you. Lord, we have a limitless supply. God, you said in your word in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it is, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God, you are wonderful. And God, you can do that this evening. And Father, I thank you for these lives and these hearts that's here tonight. I pray, Father God, that you would take us to our homes, our places of business, our work this week. And Father, whatever we need, let us take it to God in prayer. You said over and over and over throughout the word, cry to me, call to me. And you said that you would hear and answer us. So Father, we do that today. In the mighty power of God, Father, we love you tonight. We praise you and we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Just take it to God in prayer. Talk to him about it. God bless you. Be careful going home. In Jesus' name, amen.